Now, I want to get this out up front from the very beginning. I'm from New York City, okay? Now, I didn't raise my hand. And I will explain that. I thought maybe it was a revival meeting, but I will explain that more in just a few moments. But I am from New York City. I wasn't born there, okay? You can't hold that against me. I was actually born in a place called Des Moines, Iowa. And my wife and I moved to the New York City area after we got married 34 years ago. And a month after we got married, we started attending a church in New York City called Overseas Chinese Mission. And it's a long story. I won't bore you today on how we got involved with that church. And that became our home church. Over the years, we were still part of that church. And as we were serving there, I was working in retail. That's after I graduated from Bible college. I was working in retail at a place called Tiffany's. And then you've heard of that. No, I can't get you a discount anymore. That was back then. When I was director of operations at Tiffany's, the young people, we were also the youth leaders of our youth group. And so every year for graduation, we'd buy them something from Tiffany's. And then we joined the staff of the church, and the gifts changed dramatically. So then we were serving at the church full-time. We joined the church as in more administration. And then God took us to join Hope Bible Mission. And over the years, we started getting more active and involved in Guatemala. And so I'll be sharing more about Guatemala tonight, okay? That'll be the focus of this evening. This morning, the focus is on West Church in Peabody, Massachusetts. I practiced Peabody so much, but I got, okay. And, you know, we often hear about what others are doing, and that's been a great focus this week. And you've learned more about the missions that you're supporting financially and prayerfully. You've learned these things, and this is good. This is great. This morning, I will be focusing on Peabody, on this church. Tonight, I'll be talking more about what God is, how he's using us in Guatemala, because it's so vitally important to remember that as we talk about this idea of trust be told, that's you. That involves this church. That involves this congregation. You are a part of this. And it's not just by supporting these other areas. It's by being involved and active yourself. Your theme verses, I'm going to read them to you, that were sent to me, is from Psalms 40. It says, he put a new song, starting at verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell them, yet they are more than can be told. Trust be told. What are we telling people? And what is it that they are believing? And as I titled this sharing today, Hearing is Believing, I believe that we as the body of Christ need to be out there, and we are to be out there in sharing what God has done for us in our lives. And if we do that, hearing will be believing. People will respond. So the question comes up, why is it that people are not responding? And especially in the present climate of our world today, there's so much that is distracting people from what Christianity really is and what the church really is. And why is it that we sense sometimes that people are not necessarily responding, not necessarily coming to church? What are they hearing from us today? I'm going to start with prayer. Father God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here at this great church. The history here is just amazing, how you've used this community of believers in this greater community around Peabody, Lord. I pray, God, that as we are sharing today, as we're looking at your word, that you will use your word in our lives. Use your word in my life. And Lord, just as Pastor Rick prayed just a moment ago, that the words that are spoken will not be from Rick Carey, but they'll be from you and what you want said to us today, so we can walk from here sharing the hope that we have in Jesus Christ with the world that desperately needs hope. I pray all this in your name. Amen. You know, as I think about this story, David talked about this story in the psalmist. He says that he put a new song in my mouth. And as I think about the song that David is talking about here, what is this song that's coming forth from us? And David was a guy who went through so many difficult things in his life. He went through so many struggles in his life. And yet he was able to come back and say, I'm going to sing this song. So I want to talk a little bit about what that song is. And we're going to look at, as we talk about that, from John chapter 4. Because there's an amazing story. Amazing things are happening in John. And what John is sharing with us. I guess last week you had something about the Samaritan woman. Is that right? That I was told. And so I won't bore you with my views on those. But it's a powerful story of how Jesus interacted with the Samaritan woman. In the greater context, as John is building this story of Christ, he's starting off with talking about the Word, and the Word became flesh. And then he tells about this first miracle in Cana where he turned water to wine, and Mary said, now you listen, do what he says as he's doing this. And we see this purification, this message that's coming forth to people about this water into wine. We see how Jesus went from there and he cleanses the temple. And he's reacting. He's saying, "This is what you're doing to God affects me. I'm reacting to this, and I'm not going to continue on with this." And people were continuing. What was interesting? People were always responding. Even the people who were opposed to him, they weren't necessarily opposed to the things he did, but they're opposed to the words that he spoke, or they believed the words that he spoke. The words of Jesus are powerful. I believe that the song that David is singing is something that he personally experienced. Our song is a result of our story. Our song is a result of our story. He says, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. You know, as we think about the Samaritan woman, she had a story. And her story was how she had lived before she had met Christ. And she came to realization of what her need for Christ. And she responded to that. And then she went and told other people. But it was based upon her story. Her realization that she had needs. And it was a spiritual need. She needed something that could change her life. And give her hope and meaning in her life. And then just after that, the disciples, they didn't quite get this whole thing. It says in verse 31, it says, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. They were focused on the things that he needed physically. They were focused on him eating and taking care of himself. They were focused on those things, not realizing that there was a greater story out there that needed to be happening. There were Samaritans that responded to the woman. It says many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. She had a story that was of this change that had happened in her life. And it was a spiritual change. She realized what she was and then what she needed to become in her life. And I think about this in our lives, and I say, what is our story? What is it that we are sharing with people? We talk about sharing the hope of Christ. And I ask myself, what is the story that we are sharing? Is it a story like the Samaritan woman where she's saying, this is what I was. This is how I failed. This is how I had my spiritual need in my life. This is where I struggled. Is this the story that we're sharing with people? Or are we sharing a story of achievement? Of how, well, I have these physical things in my life. This is my God's blessing on me because I have a home, I have a car, and this is the story that I have to share. Or is a story about a fight where we're reacting. Pastor Rick prayed about the way in the world today. There's so much fighting, and we're attacking each other and going after things to try to achieve by our own control. Is it about a fight? What is this story? What is it we're talking about in the context of Jesus? The story of the Samaritan woman was that she realized a spiritual need. The story that the apostles were following was one of taking care of the physical need. I think of the, I've been reading, read recently a biography of a evangelist named, and you may have heard his name years ago. He's a contemporary of Jonathan Edwards. His name is David Brainerd. And there's some things that just amaze me about the life of David Brainerd, because as he was focused, and he died at 29 years old of tuberculosis. He was a guy who was expelled from Yale Divinity School because he spoke out against the professors of that school, saying that he didn't think that they were Christians. He was a man who was not able to be ordained to speak in a church in the church that time because of his expulsion from Yale. He was called and he went to serve the Indians in the wilderness areas of Jersey and Pennsylvania at that time. He was a man who went through great physical struggles and suffering in his life. But he was a man who understood what was important in his life, and that was his story about his need for Jesus. He had a realization of his own sinfulness and a realization of his need to turn to God. And a realization that achieving things here gave no satisfaction. David Brainerd wrote in one of his diaries, "Such fatigues and hardships as these serve to wean me more from the earth, and I trust will make heaven the sweeter. Formerly, when I was thus exposed to cold, rain, etc., I was ready to please myself with the thoughts of enjoying a comfortable house, a warm fire, and other outward comforts. But now these have less place in my heart, through the grace of my God, and my eye is more to God for comfort." What is the story that we're sharing with the nations? Is it a story that if we follow God, that he'll take care of the physical needs, and that's all we focus on? Or is it a story saying, no, it's a spiritual hope that I have in Jesus Christ? What is the story that we're sharing with this world? You know, it's in our church in Chinatown, we have, I think this is falling off, so if you can't hear me, raise your hand. It kind of moves around. I have kind of greasy ears, I guess. Anyway, should I keep my glasses on? Maybe that'll hold it in place. There we go. I'll leave it like that. And our church, we have a 9-story building in Chinatown in New York City. You know, real estate is very precious. We bought the building back in 1966. We've been renovating it, fixing it up. And there's been this big focus. Our church, we've just raised, you know, over the last few years, $13 million to renovate this building that we've had over the years. We were outside of our building for 3 years because we hired a bad contractor, okay? Cheap is not always better. And so we hired this guy, big problems. We were meeting in a school for 3 years. And there's this big struggle because for our church, you know, the story has been about this building that God gave us back in 1966. And we filled this building. We have multiple services, people in and out. And so we're talking about, and that's been so much of what we are. And all of a sudden, we're outside this building. We are in a school, and we're meeting there for 3 years. And what this was such a blessing for us to go through this, because so many people in our church began to realize that church is not about a building. Church is not about where we gather. Church is about the body of Christ. Buildings do not save people. It's the story of Jesus Christ as people respond. What is it we're talking about? As we go back, if we went going back into our building, the attitude is really, really not saying, wow, look at this great place that we have now. The attitude now for so many people is, how do we use this to share the gospel with our community? Not about how do we become comfortable in this place that God has given to us to be in. You see, we focus so much in this society today on the things that we have, and that's become our story. But the reality is, if we talk about, well, God gave me a house and God gave me a car, there's a whole lot of people that don't have God that have houses and cars. The story is not powerful. No, God gave me hope. He gave me a reason to live. He gave me eternal salvation. And I can lose everything. And I can say from the depths of my heart, I can lose everything. But I can never lose my salvation. And that's what keeps me going on a daily basis. And that's what kept David Brainerd going as he was suffering from illness and suffering from the cold and suffering from all the things that he was going through. Those things, he said, became less important to him. They were not important to him in his life. Because he was focused on God. That was his story. The world is suffering. The world is searching. I have a neighbor in my neighborhood, and I live now in East Harlem. And it's an interesting area, and it's if you know the history of New York, well, of course, you don't want to know the history of New York because it's a bad place, but but from my perspective, it's interesting. Harlem is, you know, it was the Dutch first settled there. Harlem is a Dutch word, and my wife is Dutch. She was born in Holland, so that's our connection, right? Then over the years, it transitioned. The English became more predominant. Over the years, different ethnic groups came in. At one point, it was Italian Harlem. It was a huge Italian enclave. It was bigger than the Little Italy of downtown Manhattan. And it was the center of where the mafia was and the whole thing. Now it's become very, it's called El Barrio. It's the area, there's a lot of Puerto Ricans and a lot of Mexicans in the area. And it's transitioned. So it's a very mixed, interesting area. And we love it there because I live in a small brownstone that we have a second floor apartment. And I go running in the morning and then I go and I sit on my stoop in the front of the building. I love watching and talking to people. I get to know people. It's a great experience. And some of the people I go to, as I share, the guys, the old timers neighborhood, it's just so interesting how they view me. You know, some guys call me padre, okay, if they're Spanish speaking. Other ones call me father. Because of the Catholic influence, but as I'm talking with them, it's just the needs. I won't tell you his name for privacy's sake, but there's a guy who's in the area. He's actually more Irish. He's partially Irish, and I was talking with him the other night, and he was saying, you know, he says, my life is terrible. He said, now this guy, he has money. He's got a Mercedes. He lives in a little apartment, but he's divorced. He can't be with his kids. He wants to go retire in Nicaragua. I have no idea why. His focus and his focus is, I just want 10 more years and then I'll be happy. 10 more years and I'll be retired. 10 more years, I'll have my house in Nicaragua or Costa Rica. 10 more years, my kids will be old enough now that I don't have to worry about, you know, that. 10 more years, and I'm looking at him, and folks, the message, the story that I have is I don't have to wait 10 years. I don't have to wait for anything. I have Christ now, and that's the story, because Jesus Christ has given me hope that's beyond expectation. That's the story that people need to hear in our lives, and I want to share with people. Our song is expressed in our story, and this song is expressed in our serving, in our service. It says, many will see and fear. You know, Jesus, as he was responding to them, he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus was saying, this is what my food is, guys. It's not bread. My food that I'm talking about is being what God has called me and placed me here to be. And he talks about this throughout the gospel of what his work is. He's doing the Father's work. Verse 38 says, I sent you to reap, he's talking to the apostles, that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Verse 40 says, so when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with him 2 days. They had heard and they seen what was going on. And they had seen something in that life, in the way of serving. They wanted to understand more. As we have a story, as I have a story that is fully sourced in my faith and my hope in Jesus Christ, that affects what I do and say in my life, and people will see that difference in my life. But it comes from understanding my story, which is my story, and as I have that story, being able to serve simply based because of what Jesus has done for me. It's not something where I have to try prove myself or earn something. It's simply because I react. When Jesus has done something in my life, I want to do something. I want to share. I want to help. I want to make a difference in this world. I want to share the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. But part of that is also helping people, doing things for people, serving people. When Jesus was walking the earth and he was healing, sometimes we think that, you know, for instance, when he healed the blind man. And some people take that and say, well, now, you know, that was the blind man's purpose in life. It says in John that the blind man was healed, and that people looked at it, wow, he healed the blind man, and that was his purpose for existing. But no, it doesn't say that. What it says is that the blind man's purpose was part of that was to be blind. It wasn't just simply to be healed so Jesus could show how powerful he is. You see, Jesus went and Jesus came and healed him just out of compassion. Jesus served people out of compassion. Jesus loved people because of who he was and is. This is what I want to be. I want to be a person that I love people and care for people, not because I have to, not because I'm forced to, not because it's my job, not just because I feel guilty, but it's because I sincerely, my love for God overflows to people. David Brainerd, again, I'll share more about him. He had a struggle. An interesting guy. As his ministry was to the Indians, his struggle was that many times he didn't love the Indians. He wrote about how that he was struggling with this fact that he didn't really love them. And he was kind of like, he would just spend time struggling with that difficulty. But what happened with David Brainerd's life is when he was struggling with this, when he didn't feel love and compassion, he didn't try to force himself. He didn't try to do more good things. He went to the Word of God. He studied. He drew closer to God. And the closer that he drew to God, the more that he felt the love for those Indians in his life. You know, so many times, there's people that we don't feel that we really care about. And we try to force ourselves to care about people. You know, I heard one time someone talked about we in churches, we often open our arms up to God, but we fold our arms to our neighbors because maybe we don't have nice people around us. Maybe we don't want to get to know people. Maybe we don't want to share with people. And we try to force ourselves, and then we come into a sermon, and we try to make people feel guilty. You need to love your neighbors. You need to love the world. And honestly, folks, I as a human being, there's a lot of people I just don't love, okay? I don't know if any of you ever, I know you have the subway, you call it subway here? Yeah. Is that okay? Okay. T. Oh, sorry. You have the T here, okay? Well, we call it the subway. I have no idea why. It's not a sandwich. And so... But you feel like you're in a sandwich, you know, because people squeeze in. And literally, I try to do reading, and I'm like this on the subway, right, reading as people are jammed in. And I honestly, folks, when I'm on the subway and I'm jammed in like this, it's really hard to love people, okay? It's really hard to love people. You know, in Guatemala, I ride the buses down there. And again, we jam. I mean, we put a lot more people on the buses. I mean, there's many times the bus is all full, and as long as I get one foot on the step and one hand on the side of the bus, I'm okay. And as I go down the road, but in fact, I prefer that because once you're in the bus and squeezed in, the smells kill you. And so, honestly, I just don't always love people. I don't know about now. Maybe you're different than me. Maybe you just love everybody that you see. I don't. How do I get myself to? Then I go to church and they preach a sermon about sharing Christ with the world. Then I feel so guilty because I don't feel like, I don't want to go tell people. I don't like them. How do I do that? This is what David Brainerd was going through in his life. He was struggling because he didn't always love, but what changed and what gave him the motivation to love people was his love for God. Because if you truly, truly, truly love God, you will love his creation. I think what's missing, and what I found missing in my life, is a true, true love for God. We love things. We love what God can do for us. We're okay when he gives us and takes care of things. But do we truly, truly love God passionately? You know, people ask me so many, they'll ask me, Rick, when did you first know that you were called to serve with the Chinese or serve with the Latinos in Guatemala? I share with people, I never was, I wasn't. I have to be honest with you. Now, some people have a clear calling. I wasn't. I was called to serve. And these are the ways that God has given me to to serve. When I left Tiffany's, they asked me, you know, they were like kind of confused because I was had this big position, and they're saying, why would you leave this? Why would you change careers? And my answer at that time was, I'm not changing careers. My career is serving God. It's just this is the new assignment that he has for me. Now, I'll be honest with you. Back then, I was a lot younger, and I did not have a full appreciation of what that really meant in my life as I've gone through so many different things and experiences. But what I do understand is that God has called me to serve wherever I'm at. But I only understand that calling as I passionately have a relationship with him, as I study him, as I learn about him, as I never give up understanding him. You know, that one of the challenges for me, I got to be honest with you, one of the challenges for me, you got a big clock there, that's nice, I'll stop soon. We need one of those at our church because I can't see the little tiny clock they have. I spoke somewhere a few weeks ago and they had one of those countdown clocks. But, what was I talking about? But the difficulties when Deb and I came back to help at our home church was dealing with the millennials. Those people are weird. I don't understand them. I don't understand my kids. This whole thing about they love to travel. I don't get that stuff. You know, they love to all these different activities and I'm like and even in our church there was such an emphasis on, and I came back, I'm like, I don't understand these people, and quite frankly, I don't really like them. But this is where God put me, and I just said, God, change my heart. And what I realized is I needed to understand God more and his thinking and what he was doing. And then I began to understand and love them more and say, okay, God, this is what you've called me to do. You see, we have our story, but they'll see they're in our service, but that can only happen as we are passionately connected with God in our life. Our song leads to the source. Our song leads to the source. And they will put their trust in the Lord. You see, what is it, the song that we're singing? What is this song? What is the story connected with the song? What is the service connected with the song? And what is the source? If we're singing the right song, it will lead people to the Lord. They will put their trust in the Lord. It's interesting. They said to the woman, this is in John 4:42, he says, they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. That's a powerful statement. And we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. And after 2 days, he departed for Galilee. The people, the Samaritans, they had heard the story. They had seen the change in this lady. They had heard her story, and they had seen that service, how she was living her life, how it was definitely there was something there. And they were saying, this is something I want to be connected with. But what really sealed it for them was the words of Jesus. Hearing his words. We believe, we have heard it for ourselves. And it changed their lives. Seems simplistic. But what has happened with our churches today when the words of Jesus have gotten clouded over with so many other things? And are people coming and responding to his words? Are we speaking truth? You know, I live in New York City, and we have a team called the Yankees. It's true, and I gotta be honest with you. I've lived there for almost 35 years now, and when they go to the World Series, I like watching it. Okay, it happens a lot. I just had to say one thing. Okay, but. I'm not really a fan, honestly. Now, a lot of the people in my church, they are like fanatics about the Yankees. They are true fans. Yes, I'm in New York. Yes, the Yankees. And they love to talk to me about it. And there's this one particular guy who grew up in our youth group, and he's a pastor of one of our branch churches. And he just is determined to take me to the Yankees game. He has season tickets, and he's determined that I go to these games. And so this whole year, he's been trying to get me to go to a game, but I'm always too busy, you know. And then this last week, he called me up. He said, listen, he said, Rick, I want you to go to with me next week. And he said, on Tuesday, I said, I can't, Joseph. I have a small group leaders meeting on Tuesday. I just can't do it. Tuesday was the fourth game of the playoffs. And I told people at church that in the small, and they're saying, are you crazy? you forget the meeting. But I couldn't do it. So then he said, but okay, Wednesday. So Wednesday he got standing room tickets for us, okay? So we went to the game, and this they give you a little spot where you stand, and there's a number there you can look at. And I'm like, okay, and I told Deb before I went, I said, Deb, I don't really want to go stand at a game for 3 hours, but I'll do it. And then we ended up getting, some people didn't show up, actually, so we actually had a place we sat down. And so we're through this game. Now, be honest with you, this game, it was a good game that night, okay? It wasn't a good last, I don't know, I didn't even know they lost. Thank you for telling me. so now I'll look knowledgeable when I go back. But they won 5-0. It was an amazing game. There was excitement. I mean, people were, and I got caught up in this whole thing. Again, folks, keep in mind, I didn't even know they were in the playoffs until someone told me. And so but I was into this thing. I'm like cheering with people. We're all doing the high fives all around like this, you know. And we're standing up. We got seats, but we stood a lot of the game. And I'm like, I'm just so into this thing. I'm like, yes, they won. And I'm so excited. And as I'm walking out, and people are high fiving, you know, and these people are. Oh, and I didn't tell you the best part, because when we first got there, they said, okay, Rick, you have to be a Yankees fan. So they bought me a hat. So I now have a Yankees hat. I didn't bring it today if you want to look at it. And so I had the hat, so I'm an official Yankees fan, high-five and cheering the whole thing, and walking out, people are all excited, and then I get onto the subway, and I'm going back, and I'm like, why am I excited? I'm like, it was a good game, you know, but the whole thing, but I just am not that much into it, you know, it's just, I'll participate, but I'm not really all that much into it, but those people are. I mean, they are into it. And it's they got the clothes, and they get excited. They go to all the games. They know all the players' names. Can you believe that? And they're telling me their statistics and they're all this. I'm listening to all this. I'm like, how in the world? And you can't remember John 3:16. But they're telling me all this stuff. They're so into it. They're true fans. This is a huge part of their life. And they respond to it because it's something that they found makes them happy. It gives them joy to follow this particular team. And I thought about that in my life. And I wonder many times in my life, how often am I a pseudo fan as far as a follower of Christ? You know, we get together and we hear about Trans World Radio. And that's an amazing story, right? I mean, that is an amazing story. And I got to tell you, in the little town, about, I think it was like 7 years ago, we didn't have electricity in the areas where we're working. We finally got electricity. And shortly after we got electricity, you know what the first thing that we saw happening? A cell phone tower on top of the mountain. It's an amazing thing. People didn't have, they could hardly charge. Actually, no, I can take that back. It was before we got electricity. You got the cell phones. They came before electricity. Because they got the cell phones and people are doing all the stuff we're talking about, and they were charging their phones at the church on the generator while during service. You have like 50 phones charging on the front of the service. You know, it's an amazing thing, the technology. And then finally we got electricity, you know, and so these, I get excited by these things. I get excited when I hear these stories. I get excited when I hear about these other missionaries. I get excited by hearing what God is doing around the world. But am I excited about what God's doing here? Because I want to be more than just a fan that goes to a game and gets and enjoys other people's excitement. I want it to be mine. I want to be a part of this thing. And that only happens when we are truly fans of the source. And I have to ask myself in my life, and I ask myself this often, what is it that I am a fan of? Where do I go for my help in time of need? Where do I go with my struggles? Where do I go? David Brainerd was a man who suffered tremendously in his life. And as he was suffering through his illness and through the disappointments of life, every time, his diaries show us, every time when he was suffering, he would go to the Word. He was driven to the Word. He would spend days meditating on the Word. He spent days praying and meditating. He said, well, Pastor Rick, I don't have time for that kind of thing. I've had to ask myself, why is it I don't have time for that kind of thing if I'm truly a fan? There's so many things that bear down on us and that make our lives so challenging and difficult. But folks, I think this is often the reason why we don't have a story. This is why our song is not reverberating to our community. And it's the same thing at our church in Chinatown. We've become very comfortable with what we have, but our song is not being heard. We have the song of Jesus Christ. It's a song that this world needs to hear. What is keeping us from singing that song, and what's keeping folks from hearing that song? I think many times it's because our story isn't clear. We've kind of forgotten about our salvation and what we are saved from, what we're saved for. And I think many times that it's our song isn't being heard because without that right story, our service isn't there. People don't see Christ in our churches. They don't see Christ in what we're saying and how we're living because the story isn't right. And not hearing that song in our lives because it's not drawing them to the source. And I want people drawn to Jesus Christ and what he's done for me and what he can do for them. Honestly, as I get older in my life, I just get less satisfied than I used to be. And I'm not as old as you know, Pastor Rick, you're a bit older, you're like a little bit older, right? I'm 58 years old. 58? I can't remember. Okay. 58, yeah. And I'm 58 years old, okay? And I'm getting older. My knees hurt a little bit, when I run, I get a little bit sore, and I have to use these crazy things to see myself. And, I'm getting older. But I found as I'm getting older, I'm less and less satisfied with just existing in this world. But I also found that having more things and having comfort isn't giving me satisfaction. The only thing that's given me satisfaction is when I go back and look at the Word of God and study it and think about it, and it's part of me, and I want to share that and live that with other people. We have a choice. What kind of church will we be as we are gathered together? We can gather together and continue to do the programs and the things, but what kind of church will we be? Are we going to be a church where our song is going to reverberate into the community? Or are we going to be a church that's satisfied with just being what we've been, moving forward? And there's a lot of churches out there that are being what they've been. And I'm not talking about changing all the functions of what happens. I've attended churches in New York City where they have, you know, packed services of thousands of people coming together. You know, and they got the very, you know, the music, and they got the speaker, and they got the smoke, and all these people are coming together. When you walk in the church, they're high-fiving every person that walks in. I'm like, he's going to kill me. It's scary. But, you know, but people respond to that. It's a big show. They enjoy it. But the people going, I know a lot of those people, they're not truly fans of Christ. They're just going because of the show. I'm not saying that. That's not what we need here. But what we do need is a church that where the community can hear our song and hear what's going on and respond to that. And just with those folks, they say, you know, we heard what the lady said, but when we heard your words, we believe. Let's get those words out there. Let's get those words out there. This is my prayer for every church, for West Church, for Overseas Chinese Mission, for other churches in the community. This is my prayer, is that our song will be heard. We're going to sing, "We have heard the joyful sound." We've heard it. Now let's share it. We've heard the joyful sound.